You're listening to Rhema for Today.
When we think about healings, thank God for that. Yes, 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 yes. But you know, the Bible keeps talking about signs and wonders as well as healings. I believe those things like that over in the hands in the area of signs and wonders and demonstrations of God's power. Can you say amen? Thank God for the Word of God.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Craig Hagin and Denise Hagin Burns. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, Jesus is Coming Again, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
Now then, another night, there was a lady, actually she's a young minister, but she's older than I was. I was 21, she's about 28, and I was giving an altar call. And she was standing, everybody's standing, because we're giving the invitation, singing just as I am, invite sinners to come to be saved. But like I said, I'd have believers to come, I'd minister to them different, be filled with the Spirit. And I could see that the Spirit of God was moving on her, and so I said to her, as we stopped singing, I said to her, go ahead and obey God. Go ahead. So she stepped forward and stepped up on the altar bench. And once she stepped up there, then she shut her eyes and went to exhorting in English, but she's speaking, of course, by the inspiration of the Spirit, exhorting people to come to be saved. See, up till then, though we were given the invitation, nobody had come. Nobody needed an altar. So she's exhorting folks to come and be saved. You know, there's a minister of exhortation. She's exhorting them. And her eyes are shut. She's walking right down the altar. And I'm standing right there, you see. I mean, it's just right over there. You could almost reach out and touch her. And I thought, she's going to walk right off the end of that altar. And she walked right down to the end. And never did open her eyes. Just when she got to the right place, just turned. Just like somebody told her, and went back the other way, exhorting folks to come. But she went down that altar, never stepped off of it. About a couple of times, and a person came and knelt in the altar. When that person knelt in the altar, she just danced one or two little steps for joy, had her eyes shut. She knew somebody had come, went to exhorting again. Another one came. Another one, and another one, and another one. Finally, 20 came. I learned later that every sinner and every backslider in the house had come. When the last one came, her eyes still shut. Instead of just dancing a little step or two like she did on the other 19, she just danced right down the altar, right off of the end of it, and stood there in the air and danced. You remember that, Paul? Never hit the floor. Stood right up there in the air, dancing, just like she's on the altar. I mean, I'm standing here. I could have reached out there and touched her. Just stood there and danced for a while. You know, I mean, it seemed like a long time. I know it's only a few seconds. Then danced right back on the altar, right down to the end of it. Stop. How she knew she's the end of the altar, I don't know. Stop. When she stopped, then she opened her eyes and stepped down, went back to her place, and we went on with the service. 3 times I've seen this happen. It happened 1 time with me. It happened twice with evangelists I had preaching in my church. First is a Jew. He has given his testimony last Sunday night of the meeting. And as you know, he's ready to give the invitation. He hasn't given it yet, but he's starting on it. When suddenly there was a flash of light. Now you see, we got lights on in the building. They're well lighted. But it's like a flash bulb went off, you know. If you were standing, you know, just within a few inches of a camera, the flash bulb, it went off for a moment, you couldn't see anything. Well, it's just like a big flash bulb went off in that building, you see. None of us could see anything, though we had our eyes wide open. It happened that fast, and then there's 5 or 6 people in the altar. And they got saved. Well, they said after the meeting's over, how do we get out of there? Said, I don't know. I couldn't see. somebody standing by him said they didn't come by me. Because, see, you can tell if somebody come by you there, you know, you can tell they'd brush against your knees. Some folks in front of them on the pew said, well, they didn't come over the pew because they'd hit me there. You see, people still sitting there. They're not even stood up yet. Yet there they are in the altar. Now, I had another fellow preaching for me, and he's preaching on the prodigal son. And he was a narration-type preacher. He'd tell it in story form. And he got down where he imagined that, you know, that mom and daddy lived out there on the farm. Their son was gone, been gone all these years. The old man sitting out on the front porch in the cool of the day. And he looked down the lane and he saw somebody turn in down there, you see, walking. And here he come up, he said to his wife, Mary, come look. Said, that looks like John Jr. coming yonder. And she looked, she said, well, it sure does walk like him. Sure does walk like him. And they watched. He got closer, they could see that it was him. And they ran to meet him and welcomed him home. And about the time he said that, there was a flash. I mean, just lit up the whole building. You couldn't see anything for a second. And then there, the altar, there were several people in the altar. Somebody said, they asked me after the meeting, how did we get down here? I said, I don't know, I couldn't see. Well, we don't remember coming down here. That light flashed, and when it was over, and it didn't last any longer, you snap your finger. We were here in the altar. How did we get here? I said, I don't know. Last time I saw you was back there, sitting, because he hadn't finished his story yet. And he gave the altar call. Well, people sitting by him said they didn't come by me. Somebody go down, they'd brush against your knees. You'd know they went by, even though you couldn't see. People in front of them said they didn't come over us. Didn't come over me. How'd we get out here? I said, the only thing I know is the Lord just picked you up and brought you down here when that glory came. Glory to God. That's all I know. I had that happen to me one time preaching. I believe there's going to be more things like that happen. I believe there's going to be a revival of the supernatural. I believe, you see, we think about the supernatural. Well, we think about healings. Thank God for that. Yes, 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 yes. But you know, the Bible keeps talking about signs and wonders as well as healings. I believe those things like that are over in the hands in the area of signs and wonders and demonstrations of God's power. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank God for the Word of God. Now, let's look real quickly. I said also this, God's end time plan includes a time of restoration of His glory and of His power and of His presence and of His gifts and ministries to the church. Now, you can read there in the book of Ephesians. We were there a while ago in the 4th chapter. Just back up in the chapter a little bit, and you'll find out that when Christ ascended on high, He gave gifts to men. And He gave some apostles. And He gave some prophets. And He gave some evangelists. And some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That is the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, you see, our problem has been that we've only recognized, some churches just recognize two of them. Pastor and evangelist. Some of them just pastor or teacher. But for the church to ever be what the church ought to be, and for us to have the ministry and do the work that God intended we should do, we must have the manifestation of the fivefold ministry. Well, I don't believe there'll be any more apostles, though. Well, now it's according to what you mean by that. Well, I mean any more than the 12. Well, there was Paul. He wasn't one of the 12. Yeah, but he was an exception. Yeah, but Barnabas is called an apostle. Acts 14:14, now when the apostles, Barnabas and Saul, You see, in the first place, Paul is not an apostle like the original ones were. Couldn't be. Never could, never will be. You see, the Word of God said in the book of Revelation that there are 12 apostles of the Lamb. Those 12 apostles, that's the reason Peter said right there in Acts, we've got to select one from among us after the Judas had failed, who has been with us from the beginning, to bear eyewitness. See, the word apostle, the Greek word is apostolos, it means a sent one. Jesus is called an apostle in Hebrews 3:1. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. You see, he stands at the list of the head of the sent ones. Amen? Now, the 12 apostles were called and sent for this purpose, to be eyewitnesses of the ministry of Jesus. We've got to select one that's been with us all these 3 years and a half almost. Eyewitnesses of his ministry, eyewitnesses to his death, burial, and resurrection. No one else except those 12 can stand in that place.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Craig Hagin and Denise Hagin Burns. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Lynette Hagin's CD, Navigating Life Without Stress. Next is Pastor Kenneth Hagin's book entitled Jesus' Name Above All Names. We're also offering Craig Hagin's CD entitled The Mindset of a Champion. Last but not least is Denise Hagin Burns' CD entitled Holy Spirit, The Ultimate Best Friend. All these items for the special price of only $29. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Craig Hagin and Denise Hagin Burns.
Coming up next month, May the 4th, International Rhema Day. So Denise, tell us what International Rhema Day really is.
So International Rhema Day is a way for you to support, both through prayer and finances, for Rhema Bible Training College. Everybody that comes to Rhema Bible Training College is on a scholarship. International Rhema Day goes to help those students graduate from Rhema, to go out into the world, to bring Jesus to this entire world. And so when you partner, you can partner as an individual. Maybe you want to get a group together. Churches can participate, and you pray for Rhema, and then you support with a financial gift. And of course, tell others about Rhema. They may not know what Rhema Bible Training College has to offer.
And the way this got started is every time that we had a crusade, my grandfather always had a Rhema Day.
Yes.
And then we decided, well, let's make one day International Rhema Day and invite churches all around the world to take up a special offering for Rhema Bible Training College to help with that scholarship.
Like, yes. I said,
keeps our tuition very, very low.
Very low.
Just encourage you, if you want to get involved in International Rhema Day, go to rhema.org /IRD and find out more information.
Yes.
About that.
Call 1-888-FAITH-99. That's toll free. 1-888-FAITH-99. Tomorrow, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue his series, Jesus is Coming Again. That's tomorrow on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.